Okay, so thank you for joining us here in Ben El Sinai. For me, it's like a special pleasure to be here for a few reasons. I grew up a couple of blocks down from here, so I have spoken in Beth Shalom a few times, but I've never spoken to a group of only women, and I've never spoken to a group, who I think is spending as much time dedicated to Talmud Torah as you are, and it's really a very special thing. Shout out to Tamar for inviting me. Tamar is like, I don't know if you've noticed in all the YU ads, she is officially the face of Azrieli. It's like, she is like...
But you're world-class Rabbeinu, according to YU ads.
That's one that you found, right? But also shout out to Dr. Lang, who for the last couple of years I've been giving a shiur for to a group of women on Zoom. Actually, I just stopped it this past week just because my life is getting a little bit too busy, but Zoe has been a regular attendee at that shiur for more than 2 years, I think.
About 2 years.
And so it's really, it's just very special to be here. And what we're here to do is learn Torah. One of the wonderful things about this program, without like tooting your horn for you, is that Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of Talmud Torah for women going on in the world at this point. And it's a great thing. But much of that Talmud Torah, I think, is just listening to Shi'urim. And the difference between listening to Shi'urim and doing it yourselves, and really getting involved and studying the sugya, learning the text, is Kirchok Mizrach Mimariv. The difference is massive. So I applaud you for investing your time in Talmud Torah. It's really a great thing. Klal Yisrael needs women who are educated, passionate about Torah, willing to dedicate their time to Torah. So I don't know everyone from here on, but I could tell you that just by being here, you seem to fall into that category. So Klal Yisrael needs you. So keep on learning, like, in all seriousness, like, this is really what we need. So I want to talk about a topic that you've probably encountered before, largely because it relates to the sugya of women learning Torah, but I hope that as we cover the sources, we'll see some new things that we have not seen beforehand. So I call this the need to pray and the prayer of need, and just to give away the direction that we're going, the need to pray is the shita of the Rambam, and the prayer of need is the shita of the Ramban. That's basically the way it works. Rav Soloveitchik, in his essay Rayonot HaTfilah, so the Rav explains in his nusach how the Rambam redeemed tefillah in the sense of the Rishonim kim'at pe'echad, like all the Rishonim said that tefillah is a din d'rabbanan, and then the Rambam was born. The way I usually say is that Judaism is a beautiful religion and the Rambam is born. In this case, the idea is that the Rambam redeemed tefillah, the Rav said, and that the Rambam took tefillah away from being a d'rabbanan and made tefillah a d'oraisa. Right, the Rambam quotes in Gemara at the beginning of Maseches Tainis on Daf Beis that La'avdo b'chol levavchem ezohi avoida shubaleif heviyomer zutfila. According to the Rambam, that's a drasha to oraisa, and there's an obligation min haTorah to daven. So let's just look at this Rambam. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Tefila, first halacha mitzvah esay lahaspala b'chol yom shenema vavad timus Hashem lokechem. Mipi hashmua lamdush avodazu hi tfila shenemala of the bechulavavchem, amrchachem, ezohi avoda shebelev zutfila. By the way, what does mipi hashmua lamdu mean? Rambam speak. What's the translation of the words mipi hashmua?
It's deraisa,
but more specific.
It comes from a tradition.
It comes from.
It's from Sukkim, but it's been passed down.
It's from Sukkim, it's been passed down. In other words, it's not exactly from Sukkim, but it's Mipi Hashmua in the sense of this is Torah Shebaal Peh. The Rambam is acknowledging that in Torah Shebiksav, Lo'oto b'chol levavchem does not necessarily mean to daven. But Mipi HaShmu'a Lamadu means in Torah Sheba'al Peh, we see that tefillah is the explanation of davening. The Rambam clearly says it's d'oraisa, it begins in Mitzvah Saseh, and Amru Chachomim Eizohu Yavod Hashem B'Lev Zut Tefillah. Right? How do you serve Hashem with your heart? Usually avoda means specifically avoda shebemikdash. It means a makrif karbanos, etc. What is avoda shebelev? How do I serve Hashem with my heart? That's davening. Ein minyanat tefilas min haTorah. Ein mishnah hatfila hazos min haTorah. Ein latfilas man kavua min haTorah. The Rambam basically says that the number of tefilas that we daven per day is not d'oraisa. Meaning to say, and the Magen Avraham and all the Achronim understand, that for the Rambam, once a day, you're Yotzei v'Doraisa. Ein Mishneh HaTfila HaZois Min HaTorah. Mishneh probably means, in this context, the text of Tfila. Right? The text of Tfila is not Doraisa, and Tfila does not have a Zman Kavua Min HaTorah, meaning you could daven once a day, L'Cha'orah, and you fulfill the mitzvahs essay min haTorah. Zok the Rambam lefikach nashim b'avodim chayavim tefila lefishim mitzvahs essay shalom zman grama elachiyav mitzvah zu kachu she'odom mischanenu mispalil b'chol yom umagad shvachos shakadosh baruch hu v'kasho tzrochav shutzarech lehem b'vakasho ubetchina v'achar kach nosin shev odoyo l'Hashem al hatove sheshpia lo kol echad lefikocho. Zok the Rambam, because tefila is mitzvahs essay which is not zman grama, because you could daven at any time, so therefore Noshim, Avodim, and Ketanim, Noshim and Avodim are, not Ketanim, are Chayiv and Tefillah. Right? It's mitzvah to say that's not time-bound. And then the Rambam writes that the idea of Tefillah is that you should be Mischanin or Mispalo b'chol yom, u'maged shvacho shakadosh baruch hu, achar kasho tzrochov, that you need, achar kach nosin shevach v'idol Hashem ha'tov v'shashpia. The Rambam says that tefillah involves the tripartite division of shevach, bakasha, v'hodah. First you praise the Ribbono Shel Olam, then you ask, and the Rambam sounds like, and Rav Soloveitchik certainly understood it this way, that I ask for my personal needs. Right? In the Nefesh HaChayim, in the Kabbalah sources, tefillah is not about my personal needs at all. Tefillah is about what Klal Yisrael needs. Tefillah is about a connection to Ribbono Shel Olam, having these pipes come down and spread Torah. I don't know how many of you have learned Nefesh HaChayim Shar Beis, but this is tefillah, according to the Rambam, is about my personal needs. So that's Shevach. First I praise Hashem. We learn this, the Prima Godim says, from the Psukim at the beginning of Vizos HaBracha, Hashem Yisinai Bav Zerach Sein Ramo, right? The Ribbono Shel Olam did all these great things. Yechi Reuven Val Yomos is a bakasha. And then there's a hoda'ah, I forgot what the psukim are. There is a hoda'ah afterwards. But what is the hoda'ah in the context of my personal tefillah? What am I thanking Hashem for? What's the Rambam's lashon? I forbade. The tova shehishpia lo kol echad l'fi kolcho. I'm thanking Hashem for the good that Hashem bequeathed to me or gave me. It didn't happen yet, but there's a degree of confidence that it will happen, and I'm thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what I know will happen, because the fact that I'm turning to Ribbono Shel Olam and tefillah recognizes the fact that I feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kol yachol, Hashem could do everything. Remember, the Rambam is extremely opposed to turning to anyone else than the Ribbono Shel Olam in davening. Right? The Rambam holds that it's a violation of Ikarei HaEmuna to use any intermediary to get to the Ribbono Shel Olam. On the flag of the Vatican, they have keys. No? You know this.
Sure.
Sure, right? So the flag of the Vatican has keys. The keys are that the belief is that you need the Pope or the others beneath the Pope, him, to get those prayers up. Our belief, and the Rav said this time and time again, is that tefillah is completely democratic. Everybody can get his or her bakashos answered. And the Rambam saying it's personal bakashos, and it comes from, it involves shevach bakasha and hoda'ah, and as such, because I'm turning to the Rabbeinu Shalom, I'm also confident that Kadosh Baruch Hu will respond favorably. If you read Prakim in Tehillim, David HaMelech does this all the time. I'm praising the Rabbeinu Shalom because I've been raised up. It hasn't happened yet. By praise of Kadosh Baruch Hu, please just introduce yourself when you ask a question.
Hi, I'm Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
My question is about the Rambam. If he says that you can go through an intermediary, does that mean that, let's say, if you go to a Rebbe and ask him to daven on your behalf, he would say that that's not okay?
That's a hard question to answer. The Rambam is talking about not going through Malachim. The Gemara does say that when a person has a chola b'sofei, so you should go to a Talmud Chacham to daven for you. Our belief is that kol davar shu tzarech u'mispalo ba'ad chaveiro hu nenetchila. If I need something, by daven for you. So the idea is, I turn to the Rebbe probably, and have the Rebbe daven for me. I don't think that means I'm going through the intermediary. That just means I have another person davening on my behalf, right? As opposed to having like that in-between level.
The same thing that we do for Kolam. Like if I'm saying someone...
Yeah, daven for, I have a relative who's sick, I have a friend who's sick, right? So we do that all the time. I don't think that's a violation of anything according to the Rambam. Hello, you see, all you need is one person to ask the question, and suddenly others begin to raise. Please introduce.
Liba?
Hi, Shalom. I'm Ezra.
How come it's not just thinking of Hashem on the past things that happened, but some of the things that happened
in the past? How come I'm saying that the Hoda'ah is not thanking Hashem for the past thing? So what I would say is that thanking Hashem for the past is part of Shevach. When I praise the Ribbono Shel, what am I praising him for? I'm praising the Ribbono Shel because all these good things have happened beforehand. The Hodah at the end of Tefillah, again, when we say Modim Anachnu Lach at the end of Tefillah, we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what he's done for us. Ba'akol, Yisbarach, Yiskadosh, etc. Right? We're thanking Hashem for what he's done to us, even though it hasn't happened yet. So the Rambam says, Tefillah is Daraisa. Yes.
Hi, Mayan.
Mayan.
Going with that logic, then wouldn't thanking for things that will happen also become Shabbat, because it's part of recognizing Hashem's Kalach?
So I think it can't be Shabbat because it hasn't happened yet. In other words, Shabbat means I'm praising you because I have experience, I know how great you are. Right? I go Shevach to Bakasha to Hoda'a. Right? So the question I think that we're grappling with, which I'm not sure I have an answer to because I haven't thought about it deeply, is what's the difference between Shevach and Hoda'a? Because Hoda'a can become Shevach, and the Shevach itself, I'm praising the Ribbono Shel Olam because he's done so much good in the past. So it is the two are similar. I think, though, in the sequence of Shevach, Bakasha, and Hoda'a, clearly Hoda'a is for the Bakasha. That's my understanding of the Rambam. The Rambam has this idea in greater depth in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Rambam says that the fifth mitzvah is the mitzvah serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though it's min hatzivuyim hakololim, meaning, the Pasuk says, "La'avdo b'chol levavchem," serve Hashem with all your heart. Serving Hashem is kolel and includes many different things. But hinebo yichud shutziva b'tfila. Right, there is something unique about la'avdo b'chol levavchem, which is a command for davening. So therefore, it's a general statement about serving Hashem. But there's also the unique thing of tefillah, And then the Rambam quotes the Midrash Halacha La'avdu zu tefila V'amru gamken la'avdu zu Talmud, and the Mishnah of Rabbi Eliezer, etc. They say Eker tefila comes from Esar Shem L'kecha Tiro Sosavot. So the Rambam is kind of throwing the idea of Talmud Torah into the misgeret of tefila. Right? The Rambam quotes the Midrash Halacha, the Sifrei, that La'avdu, La'avdazu, Tefila La'avdazu, Talmud. Right? So Talmud Torah is also part of it. We know that there is a connection between tefila and Talmud Torah. Right? The Gemara says in the fifth parak of Brachos, Ein oimdim lehispala ela mitoch dvar halacha. The best way, or the proper way to start davening, is by learning Torah beforehand. Right? The connection is, effectively, that these are both ways of serving the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's interesting, by the way, that study as a way of serving Hashem is a very Jewish idea, totally not Christian, very Muslim. In Islam, right, study is religiously significant. It's not just instrumental. In Judaism, Talmud Torah is religiously significant, so much so that it's considered avodah for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Even though Talmud Torah is avodah for Ribbono Shel Olam, there are specific mitzvahs elsewhere, v'limadtem es b'neichem mishin antum v'necha, etc., etc., regarding Talmud Torah. But, by the way, if I put this puzzle together, we get to an interesting place. Because the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, qua Talmud Torah, we know Nashim are exempt from, no? But the mitzvah of Talmud Torah as a chilek of Avodas Hashem, right? La'avdu zol tefila zol Talmud, right? Just like the Rambam began, Nashim are chayavos in tefila, so presumably they're also chayavos in the Torah as an element of Avodas Hashem. But this is a point that Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, a friend of Rav, used to make regularly, that there is the specific mitzvah of Talmud Torah as Talmud Torah, but obviously Avodas Hashem is something that women are chayavos in. That's kind of why we're here. Okay. Got it? Okay, let's go on. So that's the Shita, the Rambam. The Rama holds tefilas d'oraisa. The Ramban jumps up and down and spits wood and nickels, and the Ramban quotes the Rambam, the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines. It says, Ko eile divrei harav, ve'ein haskama bazeh. And it's not agreed upon, because the Chachomim understand that tefilas d'rabbanon. The Gemara in the third parak of Bracha says about Keri, is Kriya Kriyashma Umavarcha Mosan Akhara Vainumus Palo. About Keri, a man who has like a seminal omission. So at that point in the Gemara, we feel that a Balkari is not allowed to daven, but the Balkari does say Kriyashma. The reason is because Kriyashma is Doraisa, Tefillah is Rabbanon. Zok the Ramban, I see from that Gemara that Tefillah is Rabbanon. And therefore, my dear beloved Maimonides, you is wrong. Because you're telling me tefillah is d'oraisa and it ain't d'oraisa. Because the Gemara says it's d'rabbanan. And he quotes other Gemaras, Safik kar krishma, Safik lo kara, chozer v'korei, Safik hispal, Safik lo hispalo, eno chozer mispalo, because krishma is d'oraisa, tefillah is d'rabbanan. Right, the biggest nafkamim between d'oraisa and d'rabbanan is a Safik. Safik d'oraisa l'hafmi, Safik d'rabbanan l'hafkel. But I have a Safik if I say krishma, so I say it again. If I have a suffix, if I davened, I don't daven again, because tefillah is d'rabbanan. So these are two strong kashas against the Rambam. Just to telescope ahead, how do you think the Rambam would answer these kashas of the Ramban? Right? The Ramban says, I have two gemaras, three gemaras, whatever it is. What's a few other gemaras that we see that tefillah is d'rabbanan? How do you think the Rambam can answer these kashas? Yes? You, I did not get your name yet.
Noah.
He could say either that, like, when he's talking about tefillah midbar, it's talking about Shemon Esser, so maybe that's derabanan with the concept of tefillah midbar. And then also, I mean, he could say it's like a specific opinion, but I feel like that's harder to say because these aren't given with a name.
These aren't. And as you're saying that maybe that Gemara is going with opinions that Tfilas Derabbanan and the Rambam's Tfilas Derabbanan. So that's always a way out. You know, you kind of play the name game. But the first approach you said that specifically talking about Shemona Esrei is the approach that most of those who defend the Rambam, I give you in section number 2 over here, which is the bottom of page 2, I give you a Kesef Mishnah. So the Kesef Mishnah writes, right, when we say that Balkeri Einu Misbalo, Hainu Sheinu Misbalo Tfila Zu B'Nusach Zeh, right, I think that's exactly what Noah is saying. Right? That it's a Dirabbanan in the sense of you don't have to say these particular words, this particular text, etc. Alternatively, the Kesef Mishnah has this a little bit later on in this section. The Rambam holds that Tefillah is Dirabbanan because presumably you are Yotze your mitzvah de Oraisa at some point. Right? I have a suffix that I daven. Now, you're going to tell me that's a suffix d'oraisa? To be a suffix d'oraisa, that means I didn't do any avoda shebaleiv today. I didn't do any element of tefillah. We're going to read that the Magen Avraham holds that when I say moda ani in the morning, that's a kiyum of the d'oraisa of tefillah. Right? So if that's the case, it's highly unlikely that the suffix, if I davened, is a suffix d'oraisa. Ms. Beer.
Another problem could possibly be that you would have to be
So you're saying that tefillah you can't be chozer because of the bracha of atola element, but by kriya shema.
Well, shema isn't really bracha.
So it happens though. The point you're making is a good point. Although we paskin and it's based on the hemshech of that gemara that by suffik kara kriya shema suffik lo kara yachzor v'yikra im habrachos.
Oh.
Right. So that's really interesting in that I have to say birchas kriya shema again. So I can't use the suffik brachos lahatol part. Okay, so the Ramban doesn't like the Rambam, etc. So let's just skip a little bit to the parts that I underlined. By the way, if you notice, I divided the source sheets up into 4 sections, effectively. So we'll try to keep to the... So we're still in section 1. So the Rambam says... The Ramban, excuse me, says, Elavadai, ko inyan atfila ino chova klal, avahu mimidos chesed habore yisparech aleinu, sheshomea va'one b'chol kareinu elot. I find this to be a beautiful line. There's no do'iraisa obligation to daven, but the Rabbonu Shel Olam did chesed for us, in that he says, okay, chevra, daven to me, and Karva Shemuchal Karva Chasheri Kurva Mes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer our tefillos. It is a chesed of Hashem that He gives us the ability to daven. In Rav world, so I'm a Rebbe in YU, I'm in Rav world all the time. This is what we do. By the way, it's an awesome amusement park. If you can take a field trip this summer, then go to Rav world. It's the best place ever.
I'm at the Boston location.
It's Six Flags. We have a few different places. So in the Rav's understanding, it's chesed for the Ribbono Shel Olam in that he allows us to approach him. The Ribbono Shel Olam is so far beyond anything we can imagine. So we as mortal humans should be incapable of approaching Hashem in any way. Who are you to talk to me? That's what the king would say. That's and Allah has come of a comment, the Rabbi Hashem is going to say, who are you? What brings you here? What right do you have to be here? So Zok the Ramban, it's a chesed that the Rabbi Shel Olam allows us to daven. In Rav world, the chesed is that because Hashem is so tremendous to allow mortal humans to connect with Him, that's already really special. But then the Ramban gets to, so what does the pasuk mean? If la'avdo b'chol levavchem does not mean to daven, if the Midrash Halacha that says Avodah Shebleiv is Tfila is an asmachta of it's a drabanon, so what does the words Avdo B'chol Levavcha mean? So read these next couple of sentences in the Ramban and then I want to talk about it. Just the bolded and underlined lines in the Ramban. What does Avodah B'chol Levavcha mean? Someone's got to take a guess at this.
You have to have kavanah.
Again?
You have to have kavanah,
that's part of it. So Avodah B'chol Levavcha means be fully focused on it. That's certainly part of it. I didn't get your name though.
Tiferet,
okay.
It's more of like philosophy than a specific action.
Slowly?
It's more of like a life philosophy than a specific action.
Explain.
It says like whenever, like whatever mitzvah you do, you have to have like a full, like the whole of them. Not just like, it's not just tefillah, it's when you're doing tefillah, when you're doing.
So it applies to kol ha'tayra kula. Every mitzvah that I do should be b'chol levavchem, which means what? One second, I'm going to try to remember, but I'm not so good at this.
Mayan.
Okay, yeah.
I think what I got was like doing it for the pure intention of just serving Hashem and not for like a personal satisfaction.
I should do it because I'm serving Hashem, not for personal satisfaction. That's certainly part of it. But he's saying a little more. Tamar?
Maybe it's kind of like Abbas Hashem.
He connects it to Abbas Hashem, yes. But I think, did any of you hear of Pascal's wager? Right? So what's Pascal's wager?
It's better to believe in God because it's more of like a gamble that if there isn't a God, you didn't do any harm, and if there is a God, then you'll get a place in heaven.
Exactly. Right? So Pascal's wager is, Blaise Pascal, French philosopher, says that I have a choice. Maybe God exists, maybe God doesn't exist, I'm not sure. But on the suffix that God does exist and I don't serve God, right, to use the correct English expression, ich bin auf gehackte Zurs, right? I'm in a lot of trouble if God exists and I don't serve him. So therefore, I will assume that God exists. So I'm going to serve God, machma suffik. I'll serve Hashem, or whatever the God term is, I'll serve God not as a matter of conviction, but as a matter of trying to be safe. Zok the Ramban, la'avdo b'chol levavchem means serve Hashem wholeheartedly, not based on Pascal's wager, but serve Hashem because you have firm, complete conviction that this is correct. That's what the Ramban is saying. Now, The Ramban connects it, like Tamar pointed out, to the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem. You're supposed to love Hashem b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha. I even have to be moser nefesh for Hashem. That means I'm doing it out of complete conviction. For the Ramban, suffik is looked down upon. The Ramban feels that the goal of Yiddishkeit is to have no sveikos. That is my understanding of this point of the Ramban. And it seems to me, if you jump to section 1 on page 2, so the Ramban talks about, again, it's a mitzvah that the Rambam does not quote. Right? There's an Isser, according to the Ramban, a lav, to forget Maimed Har Sinai. Right? Pentishka Chasadvarim. For the Ramban, you have to remember Maimed Har Sinai. Why do I have to remember Maimed Har Sinai? So the Ramban tells me, I have to remember Maimed Har Sinai because through Maimed Har Sinai we have absolute conviction that Judaism is a complete, is a true religion. The Ramban is saying that doubt is bad. What we really want is certitude. So there's a mitzvah to remember Maimed Har Sinai, because by going through that process, I will have no questions about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. Right? And he writes this very clearly. HaKavana v'zeh gedola ma'od, shem chayu divrei Torah bo metzuin pi Navi olav Hashem bovad. Right? If we'd have a prophet who would tell us the revelation, even though we would know that his prophecy is true, and even if the person brings signs, etc., but nonetheless, at some other point in time, we might have a question about it. But the fact that the Torah comes to us directly from the Rabbon Lashon, Maimed Har Sinai, we remember that experience, so therefore we will have no suffix at all. What the Ramban, I think, is saying is that we have mitzvahs in the Torah not to have sfeikos. Now, I happen to like this idea very much, although in modern Orthodox education, this is something that is hotly debated. Do we encourage sfeikos from our students? Are some of you teachers? Yes. Are some of you planning on becoming teachers? Yes, Azrieli, good, right? Poster child.
Face of Azrieli.
The face of Azrieli, right? This is... But the idea that the Ramban is saying is that education is supposed to lead to a place of no sfeikos. Right? Sometimes people feel that the goal of education is to encourage doubt, and we grow through doubt, and there is a certain truth to that, but that's not what the Ramban holds. Right? The Ramban, I think, holds that we should have no doubt. At least, right? At least about serving the Ribbono Shel Olam, at least about Maimed Har Sinai, we should have no doubts. Yes, Mayan. Third try.
Huh? According to modern education, even growing through doubts, there's still like an end point with it. You know, like you encourage questioning so that you can understand more, so that you can learn.
Yeah, so I'll agree with that. So the goal is to have certitude, but the doubt is part of the process to get there.
Right.
But at the same time, I think the Ramban is saying that when I learn Chumash and I go through the mitzvahs, there's a mitzvah of remembering Maimed Har Sinai. What that means is, don't ask questions. This is, right, this is what happened. And L'Avdol B'Chol Levavchem, the Ramban is saying, means don't serve Hashem out of doubt. You should know right away, I'm serving Hashem, complete conviction, Adkan. I think the Ramban is not going to go through that process of doubt in order to get to certitude. The Ramban wants the certitude. Right? Get there. That's my understanding of it. Again, I might be wrong.
Well,
that's yes.
Very much an example model. What? That's very much an example
very
model.
Very much
an
example
model.
What is your name?
Sarah.
Sarah.
And
what?
Yeah, Sarah.
Sarah, okay.
I'm a product of the And my kids also.
Yeah, I mean, like, in the Beis Yaakov system, I think it's clearly based on the Ramban. Some would say this is indoctrination, not education. I think education comes from a Greek term to draw out rather than to indoctrinate, which is like a top-down sort of model. I think the Ramban is into, right, like what you call the Beis Yaakov model, 100%. This side of the room, Dr. Lang.
Hi, Robert. How are you? Great. isn't also Ramban here engaging with how we recognize a Navi Sheker and sort of throwing that out by saying a human may come to you with signs and miracles, and that human might be telling you untruths?
Correct.
Versus we have like the one.
Right. In other words, the Ramban, and I think all the Rishonim, basically feel that things which are proven from miracles are questionable.
Right.
But,
I mean, this is very close to the Lashon
yeah,
of
Navi Sheker. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's what he brings up. Right? If you would have a Navi at some time, Tamar, you had a comment.
Yeah. So I was just wondering, because
you know, we could say, I guess, like according to Ramban, like, okay, so you to not have doubts. And I don't think any teacher would believe in like instilling doubts in the student's head. But the question is kind of what to do if a student does have doubts. You know, you're not going to say like, oh, you have doubts, that's amazing. But the question would be how to guide them to a place of more certainty.
Because
no one's living in
constant. So, I think what you're saying is very similar to what Mayan said. In other words, doubt is a part of the process of leading to certainty. And when the student has doubts, so what do I do? Do I shut the student up? Or do I say, you know, no, doubt is good, and let's discuss it, and let's flesh it out, etc. I think the Ramban is going to say that we should educate in a way to discourage doubt.
But just because we say, like, don't say that, it doesn't mean their doubts are going to go away. Like, it would be great if it did happen, but, you know.
But let's say it like this. Mitzvah means commandment. It means you got to do it. That means you have to serve Hashem without any question. Right? That means, according to the Ramban, if someone is fully halachically compliant, does every single thing, right? Whatever they want you to do in Beis Yaakov, the person is fully compliant. For the Ramban, that's not enough if you're doing it without conviction that this is 100% correct. Again, I think that's an important point in the Ramban. So then the Ramban goes on the top of page 2, that Ra'avda b'chol levavchem zu Talmud zu Tefila, this an Asmachta. It's a din drabonon. So Ramban holds Tefila is drabonon. Then the Ramban gets to the point where he says, Olam Hashem Mechlal Ha'avoda Shenomod Torah, Rishenispalel Elov Be'ez Hatzaros. V'tiyena einenu v'libenu eilov levado ke'enei avoda v'yad adonehem v'zek inyan shakosav chisavo melchom ba'atzeichem, etc., etc. So what's the Ramban saying in these few lines?
The Torah is only talking about davening in times of service.
So the Ramban holds that tefillah be'ez tzara is d'oraisa. Right? It's possible. Like first the Ramban says that tefillah is entirely drabanan. Then the Ramban writes, oh, lomar, perhaps it means that tefillah be'ez tzara is d'oraisa. But again, it's not just tefillah, it's tefillah and Torah. So when those rockets are coming down on you and you're running into the cheder atum, right, bring your gemara with you also. Not just your, right? That's what the Ramban is saying. It's tefillah and Torah, which are d'oraisa be'ez tzara. Again, because he's trying to stick this into the sifrei. And then he quotes the pasuk, v'chisavou milchama ba'artzechem, etc. The Ramban then quotes the pasuk that the Torah has a mitzvah that when there is a war, b'harayosim b'chatzotzers, he's supposed to blow the trumpets, etc. B'nizkartem f'nei oyveichem, right? U'biyomsim chaskem b'mo'adeichem, b'ashef b'cheichem, u'tikakem b'chatzotzers. That's why we say yalav yavo, no? V'nizkartem f'nei Hashem, that yalav yavo v'yagia v'yizocher, that's based on special days. We have a mitzvah of blowing chatzotzers. And for us, the replacement is saying Yalav Yavo in davening. And when it's dangerous, you have a mitzvah of blowing chatzotzris also. And tefillah is d'oraisa at that time when you have another mitzvah d'oraisa of blowing chatzotzris. That's what the Ramban says. If I'd ask you, what's the real sheet of the Ramban? Is tefillah really d'oraisa be'ez tzara, or is tefillah really entirely drabanan? What would you say?
I think it's drabanan, and that the d'oraisa, that davening would be an add-on to the d'oraisa of the chasu
So the Ramban, I think, is pretty clear. He has two opinions. He has two opinions, but the first opinion, the primary opinion, is that davening is entirely drabbanan. He then adds, like as an afterthought, that perhaps davening is d'oraisa be'es tzara, but that's not really what the Ramban holds. And if you look at the end of the Ramban, he clearly is focused on that davening is entirely drabbanan, but perhaps if it's a din d'oraisa, we're going to say it's a d'oraisa only be'es tzara. Now, the point that I'm trying to get at is, I think, a little difficult for what the Rav says. If you turn to page 3, so this is an excerpt from Rabbi Bezdin, who was a Rebbe in YU. He taught in the JSS program. His approach was, you have to teach it, not about it. That's what all of his students remember. That's sort of what we're trying to do. You teach it, you teach the text, you don't just like teach about it. So the Rav has a mahalach, which is well known, that the Rambam and the Ramban are not really disagreeing. Right? The Rav is saying that even the Rambam, who says tefillah is d'oraisa, the Rambam means tefillah is d'oraisa only be'ez tzara. But the Rambam, right? This is like such a nervous, brisker talk. Right? It's always an ez tzara. It's always dangerous, no? Isn't this like nervous, brisker taken to an extreme? Yeah, fair enough, right? So that's what the Rav is saying. The Rav is saying that the Rambam and the Ramban agree because there is always, what are his words? They disagree in the understanding of the word. Maimonides regarded daily life as being existentially in straits, inducing in the sensitive person feelings of despair. Now, why don't I like this?
Are you not a sensitive person in existential straits with feelings of despair? Or?
So I'm not there. Not even close, right? I don't think. I mean, Baruch Hashem, life is okay. Yeah, Tamar?
The Ramban was just an extension of the Chatzot Zeros. And the Rambam doesn't hold that we need to blow the Chatzot Zeros every single day, so it doesn't seem like they're really coming from the same place.
Correct. So one issue is that the Ramban is an extension of Chatzot Zeros and we don't blow Chatzot Zeros every day. That's, in other words, if it's always an Eis Tzara, we should have to blow Chatzot Zeros every day. Let's say more. The mitzvah of blowing Chatzot Zeros, when is it? What type of tzara is it?
War.
B'chisavo mochama ba'aretzachem ha'atzar ha'atzarei ha'atzachem v'arei olsem b'chatzot zeros. No? When there's a war. Okay, so the existential distress that I am in because my life is uneasy, is that the same as war? Anyone?
No.
Not even close. Right? So I don't think it's possible. Again, what the Rav is saying is good for a drasha. If you want to speak at Shabbos Shuddos, it's really good. Yeah, I wouldn't say it like this in Boston. But what the Rav is saying is, it's not, it can't be. It can't be that there's always an Eis Tzara for a few reasons. The Eis Tzara that the Ramban is talking about is a Tzara for the Tzibur. It's not a Tzara for the Yachid. I think that's pretty clear in the Ramban. I think it's also clear that if it would really be an Eis Tzara, what Tamar said, we'd have to blow Chatzot Zeros every day. I think it's also not a tenable position, because the mainstream Shita within the Ramban is that Tefillah is Drabbanan. So there's no way to reconcile Tefillah D'oraisa with Tefillah Drabbanan. Never the twain shall meet. Right? It only could make sense it, within this shita that tefillah is d'oraisa according to the Ramban, al kol panim be'ez tzara. But that shita is not the main shita within the Ramban. And let me show you how some poskim say this clearly. Right? So the Shulchan Aruch writes that Noshim v'avodim av bishop turmi kriyash mechayovim b'tefillah Mipnei shehi mitzvah esei shelo hazman grama. Right? So the Mechaber says that women are obligated to daven because mitzvah esei shelo hazman grama, etc. Zok the Magen Avraham, Kein Kosef HaRambam, Disfirulei Ditzfil mitzvah esei doi raisa hui, Dichsiv lo avdo b'chol avavchem. But midda oraisa, one time a day, is good enough. That's why women don't daven regularly, because when they wake up before netilas yadayim in the morning, they say eza bakasha. By the way, the Magen Avraham does not mention moda'ani. Moda'ani is found in a different work called the Seder Hayom, which is after the Magen Avraham, but the minig was that women would just like say something in Yiddish. I remember my grandmother, Lal Shalom, used to like say so. I had no idea what she was doing. She would like wake up in the morning and like say something in Yiddish. Then like, but that tchinis were traditional Yiddish. This is what women did for hundreds and hundreds of years. And they'd wake up in the morning and they'd turn to Rabbi Nishlam and they'd say something in Yiddish. This is what I need, right? Please give me a good day. Like help my kids, whatever they're davening for. And Zok the Magen Avraham. Because people had like this deep religious sense, and they'd wake up in the morning and they'd say something. So that's why min haTorah, they are yotzei with that. And then the Magen Avraham continues. For haRamban sover that tefillah is derabbanan, b'chein das ruv haposkim. Okay, so here's the journal of secret. The commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch most often have a job of disagreeing with the Shulchan Aruch. You have to recognize the fact. This is what I tell my students. I teach smicha guys in yeshiva. So what I teach students all the time is that you have to recognize how much of a controversial work the Shulchan Aruch was. It was controversial because how can you tell me what the dinim are? You can't give me the baseball rule book, and that's how I learn Judaism. Right? When there's runners in second and third, does the infield fly rule apply or not? Right? I don't know the answer myself. But the point is that you can't just give me apodictic rules, do this, do that, etc. Torah is much broader. Moreover, all of them are far from the Shulchan Aruch. The Shach, the Taz is a teeny bit different because the Taz viewed himself as a commentator on the Tur more than a commentator on the Shulchan Aruch, hence the name Turei Zohav, the Magen Avraham. All the commentators on the Shulchan Aruch felt that their job is to show that this book Shulchan Aruch is wrong. They are both commentaries and
critiques.
Thank you. And that's their job. So the Magen Avraham says, yeah, the Rambam holds, and Shulchan Aruch holds, that tefillah is d'oraisa. But the Ramban holds, tefillah is d'rabbanan v'chein das ruv haposkim. The Ramban says, right, read the Magen Avraham, the Ramban says, tefillah is d'rabbanan. And look in Tosfos, etc. And the Smak says, this is a mitzvah l'hispal v'eis tzara. Isn't that fascinating? The Magen Avraham knew what he was doing. But the Magen Avraham does not say that the Ramban says it's a mitzvah to daven beis tzara. Right? The Magen Avraham says that the Smak says it's a mitzvah to daven beis tzara. The Smak, by the way, Chaim Soloveitchik says, was like the medieval Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. If you look at the Smak, it's divided up into seven sections. Every day of the week, you're supposed to learn one section, which is just a Sefer Mitzvahs, review all the mitzvahs. Sefer Mitzvahs Katzer, you review all the mitzvahs once a week, and you know what to do. That's the Smak. There are tons of manuscripts of the Smak, because medieval Jews did this. There are commentaries on the Smak, like Rabbeinu Peretz has notes on the Smak. There's the Smak of Zurich from Switzerland, who has notes and different commentaries and slightly different texts in the Smak. This was a book that was used all the time. The Magen Avraham is saying that the Smak holds that there's a mitzvah to daven beis tzara. But the Ramban doesn't say that. In Magen Avraham world, the Ramban holds tefillah is derabbanan, and that's what most Rishonim hold also. And the Taz paskins that tefillah is derabbanan, and the Taz reads that even into the Shulchan Aruch. The Taz says that when Shulchan Aruch says that tefillah is mitzvah esei shalai hazman grama, what he means is that it's a mitzvah esei midrabbanan shalai hazman grama. Okay, another dirty little secret about the Shulchan Aruch is the Shulchan Aruch operated with what is called cut and paste. Right? People know this cut and paste trick, right? So the Shulchan Aruch takes the Lashon HaRambam and he cuts it and pastes it. But says the Taz, that doesn't mean that that's really the halacha. It's just that the Rambam's expressions are very good. The Rambam has nice language, so that's why we use it. But fundamentally, both the Magen Avraham and the Taz paskin that tefillah is derabbanan. And the opinion that tefillah is d'oraisa, l'cha'ora means that tefillah is d'oraisa be'ez tzara. Again, there's the Rambam that tefillah is always d'oraisa. But within this shita of the Ramban, and tefillah is d'oraisa in the second version of the Ramban, which we're saying is not the mainstream opinion, in that second approach of the Ramban, tefillah is d'oraisa be'ez tzara, which means a tzara for the tzibur, not for the Yachid. However, the Sefer HaChinuch, quotes the Rambam here. Turn to the top of page 4. So the Rambam writes here, V'ulam, the paragraph that begins V'ulam. V'ulam, Enon Batara. The Rambam writes that it's a mitzvah l'hispala b'chol yom. By the way, the Rambam holds that any mitzvah in the Torah that the Torah does not tell me when to do it means once a day, every day. Right? It's not clear how come we know that men who wear tefillin wear the tefillin once a day, every day. Why don't we, again, technically you should be wearing tefillin all day, but all these mitzvahs that the Torah doesn't give a zman for, so kriyashma, there's a zman, b'shapuchav kumecha. But any mitzvah the Torah doesn't say how often you do it, so you're supposed to do it once a day, every day. The Chinuch quotes, the Rambam says to Reisa, v'haramban tafas ala v'omer sh'atorah lo tzibisanu lehispaleo b'cho yom, v'gam lo b'cho shavua, v'lo tiyachid zman b'davar klal, v'talmid yomrim zechron levrocha tefillah d'rabbanan. Right? Meaning, the Ramban holds tefillah is drabbanan, because, first of all, who says, if it's d'oraisa, who says it should be once a day, every day? Maybe you should daven once a week. Maybe you should daven once a year. V'hu kemisapek yomer shemitzu l'spalo v'lizoik l'fnei hakeel baruch hu be'ez hatzara. And the Rambam also says, right, v'hu kemisapek, meaning the Ramban, as a matter of doubt, as a suffix, says that maybe be'ez tzara. And the Rambam says that davening is min ha-Torah, but there's no zman for it, etc., etc., etc. U'min ha-dome, ki b'yos ikar mitzvah ha-Torah b'kach v'lo yoser, tiknu zechronam levracha l'mishu b'mokoyim sakana v'einu yachol l'amo d'lachavin, k'day lo tzidei chobasa v'mitzvah ha-Torah l'omar tzarchei amcha merubin k'mo sheba m'saches brachas. Meaning to say, the Gemara says if a person is in an area where there are animals and it's dangerous, the person should just recite a tefillah katsara, tzarchei amcha merubim, and then you run through. Says the Sefer HaChinuch that this is true both according to the Rambam and the Ramban, because for the Rambam, you yotzei, you're once a day davening, and for the Ramban, this is the eis tzara. It's also a...
But the Ramban said, or the understanding that
so the understanding that we had in the Ramban is that he's saying that it is Bitsibor. But read the way the Chinuch quotes the Ramban. Does the Chinuch quote the Ramban based on the connection to the mitzvah of Chatzotzros? Right? You have to read, the Chinuch as cited in the Ramban, as cited in the Chinuch, does not quote the pasuk of Harayosim b'chatzotzros. It does not sound like it's a din on the tzibur. Right? In other words, even the tzaras hayochid might be a tzara for the for this opinion that tefillah of eis tzara is d'oraisa. Reb Asher Weiss makes this point, I forget, in one of the parashios. In his Sefer HaChumash, he makes the point that he doesn't quote the Chinuch, he quotes a number of like tshuva svarim and stuff, who say that maybe tefillah is d'oraisa be'ez tzara, even if it's tzara hayochid. But I think that the Chinuch is saying this within the opinion of the Ramban. So 2 days ago there was a fast. And the general secret is that I daven Nosach Ari, I daven Nosach Chabad. Why I daven Nosach Chabad? Long story, basically, my family's been Chabad for like 7 generations. I've been trying to get rid of this for many, many years, but I can't. So I daven Nosach Chabad. So I'm saying Aneinu in my Siddur, and I say Aneinu, and it's the same as the text of the Aneinu over here. But when I finish, I don't say the bracha, because the Yochid doesn't say the bracha, but when the Chazan says the bracha, so in the Minyan I'm davening in YU, the Chazan says, Baruch Ata Hashem Ha'oneh Be'is Tzara. But I'm following in my Siddur, and it says, Baruch Ata Hashem Ha'oneh La'amo Yisrael Be'is Tzara. And I did a quick search, and Sfaradi Sidurim in general, those words were Amo Yisrael added. I mamish did not know this until like 2 days ago. I think this is exactly the point that we're trying to bring out. First of all, davening, according to this shita that the Ramban has as a suffix, davening on a fast day might be da'iraisa, right? But, why? So the girsa of ha'one be'is tzara would sound like even if it's a tzaras yachet. But the girsa of ha'onela amo Yisrael be'is tzara would sound like it's only a tzara for Klal Yisrael. Again, this is conjecture. This might not be, it's not airtight. It's not absolutely, I'm not saying this out of conviction, okay? But I think there is something to it. So far so good? Should we go on? So in Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya, we have Hilchos Avelos, which is one of the things I teach in yeshiva, and we always begin Hilchos Avelos in yeshiva with the halachos of Bikur Chola. The minig was in certain communities that if a person was sick for a few days, so the community would come to visit you. It happens the Chaya Adam writes that the same people who were the chevra Bikur Chola were the chevra Kadisha in town. So if you don't come to shul for a few days, you'd get a knock on the door. And it's the Chevra Kadisha, which is also the Chevra Bikur Chola, right? Because you didn't come to shul for a few days, and the Chevra Kadisha is here to take you out feet first, right? That's the basic idea. So how might we claim the Mitzvah Bikur Chola? So people totally mess up the Mitzvah Bikur Chola all the time. If you want, you can look up a YouTube video, stupid things people say in Bikur Cholams. And people do, like, they say the dumbest things ever. No? Like, this is, Jews are known for being stupid. This is what we could do. But the Ramban is quoted in the Torah that you're mekayim the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim only if you daven. If I just show up and I talk to the person and I'm friendly and I can spend 2 or 3 hours with the person, I'm chatting about the family and I'm chatting about the Mets will happen to be having a really good season, right? And I'm chatting about whatever I want to chat about. So that's not Bikur Chola. Bikur Chola means I daven, according to the Ramban. You're not Mekayim the mitzvah of Bikur Chola if you don't daven. So I saw in one of the Sfarim that this is the Ramban Lashitoso, that for the Ramban, Tefillah is D'oraisa. So therefore, when I do Bikur Cholim, obviously it's an Eis Tzara, so-and-so is in bed, so-and-so is sick, maybe dying. Right? By the way, it's not clear in Halacha. How sick do you have to be for Bikur Cholim? Right? In Hilchos Shabbos, I have 3 categories. I have a Mechush, when I can't even take a Tylenol. I have a Chol HaShein Bosekon, when I can't take a Tylenol, but I'm not really a Chol HaShabbos. That's Chol HaShein Bosekon, then I have Chol HaShiyesh Bosekon, where I do everything. How sick do you have to be for the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim? It's not really clear. Right? Just something to think about. But I saw one this firm who says that according to the Ramban, tefillah is part and parcel of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim because tefillah becomes d'oraisa when you're mevaker achola. I'm not convinced that this is true. Because when I'm mevaker achola, that's a tzaras hayochad, that's not a tzaras hatzibor. And what we're trying to show is that the Eis Tzara is only by a Tzaras Tzibor. So that is part 3 of this conversation. Part 4 of the conversation. I actually prepared. I organized it into like different sections.
Are there shiurim you don't
prepare for? I don't know if you've noticed. Yes, there are shiurim I don't prepare for.
No, I'm sorry. I was teasing. I apologize.
No, it's fine. I mean, like, yes, I give shiurim I don't prepare for. Never when I teach in Stern. I'm teaching in GPATS next year, so I always prepare for those shiurim, although I should say I've never taught in GPATS until now, so we'll see how that works. But
it's saying thanks for things happening in the future.
Oh, you're going to be in GPATS, right?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm going to be second year. You're teaching the third year.
I'm teaching Shami Gemo, yeah. This is like a new thing. Okay. So Reb Chaim has a yesod that Reb Chaim writes that there's a contradiction in the Rambam about kavona. Is kavona in tefillah ma'akev only in the first bracha, in the bracha of Avos, or is kavona ma'akev in the entire davening? So Reb Chaim has a famous yesod where he says that there's like tzvei dinim, there's two types of kavona. This is like paradigmatic brisk. Reb Chaim says one element of kavona is the recognition that you are omed lefnei Hashem, which in modern parlance we would call mindfulness, that you know where you are in front of God. That kavona is d'oraisa, the entire davening. The Reb Chaim explains that if I daven without a recognition that I am in front of God, it is like misasek. It's like I'm doing an action just haphazardly. That's not tefillah at all. That tefillah is, that kavanah is ma'akev, the entire tefillah. But the kavanah of peirush hamilim, the kavanah that I know what the words mean, that kavanah is only ma'akev at the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei. That's what the Ramban says. That's what Reb Chaim says, excuse me, within the Rambam. Okay? And he writes clearly, according to the Rambam, Yesh l'chol sefod, Reb Chaim says, V'das ram d'chov satfil mitzvosim midin toira, afil l'achokam ha-Rambam hain rak b'chiyuva, avu kiyuma v'in yona, hevel l'kuli alma midin toira. So Reb Chaim in his presentation says that if you daven without the awareness in your front of Hashem, without mindfulness, so that's not tefillah at all. Yes?
So then according to that approach, is it better if like you're having a day where it's really hard to focus, would it be better to not daven at all because then you're not saying
that it's. So again, so the Gemara sounds like you shouldn't daven at all if you can't have kavana. The Rama writes that bismaneinu einonu chozrim et nechisaren kavana, because we don't have kavana anyway. The assumption is that I get some element, again it's Reb Chaim, the assumption has to be that there's some element of mitzvah that's involved in just saying the words. That's what you have to say. Strictly speaking, you're right. Strictly speaking, you should not daven if you... it's purposeless to daven if you're not focused. And if we're honest, though, how often are we focused? Or how often are we focused on entire davening? Yes?
Don't we say it's only ma'akev for the first bracha?
So that's the contradiction that Reb Chaim asks. On the one hand, the Rambam and Paskin said kavanah is only ma'akev from the first bracha. On the other hand, the Rambam and Perek Yod of Tefillah sounds like kavanah is ma'akev the entire davening. So therefore, the Reb Chaim says that there's two different types of kavanah. There's kavanah in terms of knowing the words mean, that's only ma'akev in the first bracha. There's kavanah in terms of knowing where I am, what I'm doing, that's ma'akev the entire Shemoneh Esrei. That's Reb Chaim. And Reb Chaim says this within the Rambam. But there's one line that I just read, which is striking. Okay, first line, the end of the first line, beginning of the second line. I'll begin it. V'afilu l'hachokim al ha-Rambam. Right, what's Reb Chaim saying? That even those who disagree with the Rambam, they only hold that the chiyuv to daven is d'rabbanan, but the kiyum of tefillah is d'oraisa. Right, you see that, Reb Chaim? Right?
It's very good.
They're extremely brisker, right? Again, Reb Chaim, of course, is brisker. Like, nothing to say, right? So Reb Chaim is saying that the obligation to daven, according to those who disagree with the Rambam, which is the Ramban, the obligation is rabbinic. But when I daven, if I have my ledger of d'oraisa points and d'rabbanan points, when I daven, I check off a d'oraisa. There's a kiyum mitzvah min ha-Torah when I daven. This is already a radical idea. It happens that this idea of Reb Chaim is quoted, there's a sefer, the Emek Bracha, Reb Aryeh Pomarchik. He was a student both of Reb Vovel Soloveitchik, Reb Chaim's son, and a student of the Chazon Ish. And the sefer Emek Bracha, he's bothered by the kasha that we assume that duchening is d'oraisa. Yet the Gemara says that duchening has to be a chelak of avoda. Well, how can... So, what's the avoda? Right, how is duchening d'oraisa if it's a chelak of avoda? What's our avoda? So, obviously, the avoda is, like the Rambam says, avoda shebelev. Right? Ezoi avoda shebelev. Tefillah is the equivalent of shas avoda, so you want to bring in karbanos. So, duchening is d'oraisa because we duchen in the middle of davening. Great. So the Emek Bracha says, yeah, but what about the Ramban, which we noted is how we seem to paskin, that tefillah is d'rabbanan. So how can duchening be d'oraisa if duchening has to be as part of avoda, when the Ramban says that tefillah is d'rabbanan? So the Emek Bracha says the same yesod. The chiyuv of tefillah is d'rabbanan, but the kiyum is d'oraisa. The Ramban holds I don't have to daven, but if I do it, I get points on the level of d'oraisa. Right? That's what the Ramban is saying. Now,
that feels closer to the Rambam with, like, this is what Hashem wants us to do. Like, Hashem is going to give you mitzvah points, even though this is a d'rabbanan.
So, again, the Rambam says that I have to daven on the level of d'oraisa.
No, I know, but it just, like, this actually feels like a nicer way of reconciling that than the Rav's.
In other words, this is another way of reconciling the Rambam and the Ramban, which is that they both hold that there's a d'oraisa involved in davening, but the d'oraisa is not that I have to daven according to the Ramban. The d'oraisa is that when I daven, I get d'oraisa points. Right? The chiyuv is d'rabbanan, the kiyum is d'oraisa. Now, this idea of a mitzvah kiyumis is all over the place. One of the famous examples of mitzvah kiyumis is the Vilna Gaon is quoted as saying that even though the real mitzvah min ha-Torah is to eat matzah only at the Seder, but there's a mitzvah kiyumis that every kezayis and matzah I eat throughout the 7 days of Pesach, I get d'oraisa mitzvah points. Right? That's what the Gaon is quoted in the Maaser Rav. The Maaser Rav was published after the Gra died. I believe it was published in 1856. The Gra died. The Gra lived 1720 to 1797. Maaser Rav was published in 1856. Maaser Rav writes, Shivas Yomim Tocho Matzos, Kol Sheva Yomim Mitzvah. It's only considered a Rishus Legabe Laila Rishon Eshehi Chova. O Mitzvah Legabe Chova, Rishus Kari Lei, it should be. That base is like a footnote. The point of the Gra is that you don't have to eat matzah all 7 days of Pesach. If you eat matzah all 7 days of Pesach, you get d'oraisa points. Famously, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he says, Rav Soloveitchik said this also, Rav Shechter has this at the beginning of the Sefer Mipnini Harav, that if there's a mitzvah Yishuv Ha'aretz, right? I like talking about Yishuv Ha'aretz. There's a mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, so how come we don't live there? So you could say, okay, I'm not so from. Okay, so sorry. But like, well, the Gadol Yisrael haven't lived in Eretz Yisrael. Like, why not? Like, why doesn't everybody pick up, all the rabbis should pick up and leave the five towns and go to, you know, Eretz Yisrael, and that would probably lead to the five towns clearing out considerably, or maybe not, I don't know, but how come we don't live in Eretz Yisrael? So the Rav said, in his opinion, and Rav Moshe has this in the Tshuva, in his opinion, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah kiyumis, not a mitzvah kiyumis. It's not obligatory. If you go there, you get points. Years ago, there was a fellow, his name was Tzvi Glatt. He grew up in Brooklyn. He, against his parents' wishes, he made Aliyah at age 16, and he went to learn in Yeshiva Merkez Haraf, and he was killed in Hebron on the Friday night. So, okay. And when they go through his farim in the Beis Medrash after he was killed, they saw that he wrote a kuntres. He wrote a whole pamphlet about the mitzvah Yeshiva Aretz to try to convince his friends who were back in Yeshiva Flatbush that you guys ain't doing it right. I got it right living in Eretz Yisrael. And he says, and, you know, Rav Moshe Feinstein has this tshuva that it's a mitzvah kiyumis, not a mitzvah kiyuvis, that you don't have to go, but if you go, you get points. And I want to show that Rav Moshe is wrong. So the whole kuntres, it's like 70 pages. It's called Me'afar Kumi. Someone told me that was translated into English. So the kuntres Me'afar Kumi, the whole sefer is about how the mitzvah Yishuv Ha'aretz cannot be a mitzvah kiyumis, it's a mitzvah chiyuvis. It's obligatory. It happens that Rav Moshe Feinstein, the godless Rav Moshe, that he writes a haskama on the sefer, right, a letter of approbation. He writes, even though this entire sefer is there to argue against me, and he's wrong, but you should still buy it anyway. There's also a haskama that Rav Moshe wrote on a sefer called Tikkun Erev in Manhattan. Rav Moshe is really opposed to Manhattan Erev. Right? It's godless to write a haskama on a book that's completely against what you say. And he writes, by the way, it's based on Torah sources, but he's wrong, right? So he'll buy it anyway. It's really fascinating. So Moshe has Haskama in the Sefer Me'afar Kumi, beautiful. In the Hakdama to the Sefer Me'afar Kumi, so Rabbi Avram Shapira, who was the, at that point, the Rosh Hashiva in Merkaz, Merkaz HaRav, but later on became the Rav HaRoshi. So Rabbi Avram Shapira has a Hakdama to the Sefer, Hakdama slash Haskama, where he writes that the concept of mitzvah kiyumis does not exist in Judaism. The concept of mitzvah kiyumis, I mean, when I was growing up here in the Five Towns, my childhood rabbi was Rabbi Walter Wurzberger. He was the editor of tradition at that point. He had a book called The Ethics of Responsibility. His basic argument is that Judaism is a religion based on getting points because I'm responsible. I have to do something. Schar v'oinesh. I have to do something. The Ribbono Shel Olam rewards me for what I have to do. The Ribbono Shel Olam punishes me when I don't do what I have to do. But there is no such thing in Judaism as getting points volitionally. I can't get points because I do something that I want to do. That's against Judaism. That's what Rabbi Avraham Shapira writes. There's no such thing as a mitzvah kiyumis. It doesn't exist. So this whole argument from the Gra and from Reb Chaim within the Ramban, right, and what the Rav and Rav Moshe said about Yishuv Haaretz is really troubling. There's no such thing as mitzvah kiyumis. Anyone have a question on this?
Yeah, we're all in trouble.
We're all in trouble. Everyone in this room, besides me. Right?
Yes.
Because, like, women are not obligated in Mitzvah Seseh Shasma and Grama. Women are not Chayavos in Talmud Torah, although we tried to say Lo Shtikl Torah beforehand. It's like, what's going on? If there's no sitting in Mitzvah Kiyumis, what are we doing? So the answer is that there are different types of Mitzvah Kiyumis. There's certain things which are full-fledged obligations. But me'eza sibashahi, the obligation stops over here, or the obligation only applies to these people, not to those people, etc. So that type of mitzvah kiyumis you can have, because someone can opt into a different category. The mitzvah itself is obligatory, right? It's not obligatory for me, I'm opting to do something which is obligatory. That's fine. But if you have something which is entirely optional, the argument would say, there is no such thing in Judaism as something which is entirely optional, but if I do it, I get points. That would mean as follows. I saw in the Sefer last night that one could argue that according to the Rambam, that there's a mitzvah min ha-Torah to daven once a day, every day, but it could be there's a mitzvah kiyumis to daven three times a day. Because the yesod, the musad of tefillah is d'oraisa. I could extend it. Right? There's a mitzvah of tkiyah shofar and Rosh Hashanah. Or the poskim say, you can blow shofar more times. Maybe blow 100 kolos. Technically, you need to blow 9 kolos. But I'm mekayim a mitzvah because I'm extending a chiyuv. But something that is kolakulo a rishos, that is, to say that that's a mitzvah kiyumis is very difficult. So for the Ramban to say that there's a kiyum mitzvah of tefillah, even though there's no chiyuv, that would not make sense according to what I think we showed is the mainstream opinion within the Ramban, that the mitzvah of tefillah is entirely drabanan. So, questions, comments, observations?
No jokes.
No jokes. If you want to tell a joke, I tell my students that if you, my students in yeshiva, that if you give an answer on an exam which is wrong, you'll lose points. But if your answer is so wrong that I start to laugh when I read it, you get extra points. That's my basic rule. So if you want to tell a joke, it just better be funny. Okay. So thank you for listening. And again, I like saying to you, so thank you for giving me the opportunity.